1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Well, the Pan-Arab Daily Al Hayat published yesterday what it said was a statement from an Al-Qaeda spokesman warning the United States to get ready for another attack. And here is what it said. It said, quote, "What is coming to the Americans will not, by the will of God, be less than what has come." This was a statement attributed to Al-Qaeda spokesman Suleiman Gugaith Schmuck, something. And then he went on to say, Mr. Schmuck went on to say, "So beware, America, get ready, get prepared, put on the safety belt." You know, these guys, you entered this into a high school 101 competition, this would win. First ribbon. There's some very floral descriptive statements. It's quite profound and, you know, get ready, put on the safety belt by the will of God, by the will of Allah, the rain and the fire of hell. There was one other thing here that I thought was particularly interesting. It was particularly, oh, I don't know, it just resonated it had one of those fire and brimstone, and coming from our culture, we're used to the fire and the brimstone, those of us who grew up in that kind of a religion. Oh, here it is. "The future of America and Afghanistan is fire, hell, and a certain loss." Pan-Arab newspaper Al Hayat quoted Omar. Oh, this was Sheikh Omar. This is the guy that the CIA said had come unhinged, the head of the Taliban. He's alive, and he's making statements, and he's making contemporaneous statements, and apparently he's in Pakistan, and he's talking about events that are happening, and he also went on to say that bin Laden is alive. Now, bin Laden could certainly say that for himself, but Omar, the one-eyed sheikh, he's saying it for him. You want to know why? Well, because bin Laden ain't alive. And the other thing that has to be obvious to anybody with a third-grade education is that Al-Qaeda doesn't have anything in the pipeline in terms of an attack. Now, why do I say that? Why didn't they warn us about September the 11th? They wanted it to be a surprise. Why then are they warning us now about stuff that's coming up? They don't want it to be a surprise. They want us to be prepared. They want us to fasten a safety belt. They want us to get ready for it. Why would they want us to get ready for it now, and they didn't want us to get ready for it on September the 11th? Well, the answer is very obvious to anybody with 14 cents worth of brains, and that is, and that means you, Chris, and that is that they haven't got anything in the pipeline. They don't have anything planned. If they did have something planned, it was disrupted already by either the CIA, by Pakistan intelligence, by Interpol, by whoever out there is interdicting these things. It's been intercepted, and it's frustrated them, and so they're reduced to, well, the usual weapon that these fundamentalists use, and that's a lot of threats. They're very good at it, as you know, and they've been doing it for many years, threatening, saying that we're going to, you know, regret the day that we were ever born, saying that America's going to be in the furnace of hell, and that what does he say here? Fire, hell, and a certain loss. And I remember bin Laden's phrase, which was something very interesting, a choking life. It's probably in Arabic. It's much more descriptive than that, but that's descriptive enough. But they don't have anything, because if they did, they wouldn't be warning us. Plain and simple. These are a very frustrated bunch of people. But what they do have are the threats. And what they do have are the words, and that does have a certain impact with some people. It scares people, and these guys are, after all, terrorists. So all they have to do is keep on talking, although, like the boy that cried wolf, sooner or later you just thought you're not going to believe them, and then I suppose you relax your guard, and then that's when they hit. I don't know how it works in the terror business. I haven't been involved in it myself. But I do know that when they hit us on September the 11th, it was a total and complete surprise. The only communication about what was going to happen on September 11th was happening between each other, themselves. And by the way, the CIA and the FBI, it's becoming increasingly clear that they had people that they were observing, they had individuals that they were writing memos about, they had people that were involved in the September 11th attack under surveillance. So it isn't any longer just enough for the president to say anybody could have missed it. I mean, at some point you have to say, yeah, we do pay you guys a fairly serious amount of money to put things together, to connect the dots a little bit. Maybe not a lot. But I think when an FBI agent says we need to arrest an individual and we need to confiscate his computer to see what he's got on his hard drive, I think that's when you can say somebody blew it. And what's going on right now is that President Bush the star is beginning to get a little tarnished. The limelight, he's beginning to look a little, he ain't looking as hot as he used to. President Bush's, what do they say that? The shine is coming off of the rose, the bloom is off of the star, whatever the hell they call it. Something's off, man. Something don't smell too good. The president led us very well after September the 11th, but now we are beginning to put, like I say, a few of the pieces together. We're beginning to see what it was that the president might have known, or at least his administration might have known. We're listening to his words, and we're not seeing any action. For instance, we just saw something today having to do with global warming. All of a sudden, he's saying that it does exist, and it hadn't existed. He didn't want to drill in Alaska, but he does want to drill in Alaska. He didn't want to drill in Florida. So now the guy is back to where he was after he got elected. A whole bunch of people thinking that he's a real kind of zero. He doesn't really have his, it's not too clear what it is that he's up to. But I don't even want to really talk about that. All I want to talk about, and all I really wanted to mention, was yet another threat from Al-Qaeda and more inaction from Al-Qaeda. They threaten and then they don't follow through. They threaten and then they don't follow through. Now, one of two things is happening. Either they're not following through because they can't, or they're not following through because they're being stopped. And probably both things are occurring, especially right after 9/11. So if you're worried about whether we're winning the war on terror, and I saw some poll last Friday that said most people don't believe that we are, exactly what is it that you want to see to believe that we're winning the war on terror? No more statements from guys with one eye and a bedsheet? I don't think that's going to happen. The one thing these guys know how to do is talk to newspapers. By the way, if this guy is the new spokesman and we got his name and he's giving quotes to newspapers, how come we can't arrest him? Is he not part of a criminal organization which has violated American law? Isn't he then subject to arrest and confinement and detainment? Why don't we find him and arrest him? He's giving quotes to newspapers. He's out there someplace making statements. He's giving press conferences. Here's another guy we ought to lock up. So if you're worried about whether we're winning the war on terror, which was apparently the subject of a couple of polls last week, how can you say that we're not? Now, we're pissing them off because they're not getting to do the things that they want to do. There's no doubt they're pissed off. But we didn't say that we're going to wage a war on guys getting pissed off. We said we're going to wage a war on people who want to strike us with terrorist acts. We can't do anything about guys getting pissed off and giving statements to the newspaper. Right now, we got guys in eastern Afghanistan running into empty caves. Why? Because the much-vaunted fighting power of Al-Qaeda doesn't exist. Never did. They're not badasses. They're not hard asses. They're not great warriors. It's every time our guys hit the ground and seek them out for a little mano a mano, they run back to Pakistan. So these guys aren't even fighters in any sense of the word. They're suicide bombers is what they, this is the one thing that they've been able to do very effectively, and that's blow themselves up with a whole bunch of other people. All right. So they don't know how to do that. Apparently, if they had anything in the pipeline that they planned after 9/11, they haven't been able to execute that, and that's very much likely the result of action taken by the United States militarily and intelligence-wise. So if you don't think we're winning the war on terror, I would ask you this question. What is it going to take to convince you that at least we've got the upper hand? Or at least we've got the ball moving in the right direction. Or at least we got them back on their heels. You don't want to hear any more comments from these guys saying that they're going to give us a choking life and they're going to have us eat lead or whatever it is that they say? They're always going to say that stuff. They've always been saying that stuff. If there's one thing that we're used to as Americans, we're used to watching our flag get burned and listening to people pump their fist in the air and tell us what scum we are. This is par for the course. This is what happens. And we pretty much can live with that. I can. I don't know about you. I'm fine with it. It's fine. People are entitled to open their mouth to say anything they want, I guess. When they follow through on some of this stuff, that's when you say, okay, well, it looks like we're going to have to take one of those bunker busters out on you. So once again, more statements. And this guy Omar and Bin Laden's alive, and there's no proof for any of it. I believe the guy Omar's alive, but how bad can one guy with one eye be? Guy with one eye riding a moped around. Bin Laden's dead. That's number one. Number two, Al-Qaeda's got nothing in the pipeline. Nothing that they're effectively going to execute. They got ideas. They got dirty bomb ideas. They got suicide bomb ideas. They got jetliner ideas. They got all kinds of ideas, but they don't have anything that is in the pipeline, that is executable, if that's a word, that is, you know, stage two, you know, everybody get your passports ready. Because all of that stuff, to some degree, on some level, has been disrupted by the United States, by our allies. That's all there is to it. Whether you like it or not, I don't know. Whether you believe me or not, look, just look for yourself. You don't tell people you're going to attack. This is frustration. This is anger. This is, we can't do anything, so let's just scream a whole lot of stuff. This is like shaking your fist at the guy next door and telling him how you're going to do something to his dog, even though, you know, if you don't keep your dog from barking, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's right, Charlie. You don't know what you're going to do. And we know all the reasons why they hate us, because I guess we support Israel and we're Americans. That's it. Because we're American and we got some Jews living here, too. That's why they hate us. There you go. That's all you need to know. All right. Jay Santos is going to be coming up here in just a second from the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk about effective steps against the possibility of terror strike in America. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, joins us. A volunteer police agency, Jay?
Yeah, that is correct, Phil. Primarily looking over the shoulder of the police, make sure that they are assisted in the things they need to do.
Well, we were talking here about the Al-Qaeda and the number of terror threats the country has received over the last 6-8 months. You have Operation Terror Free Cellular. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Phil, we do know that terrorists are contacting and communicating each other using cell phones. Since the FBI continues to remind all of us to be alert, we came up with something we think can help the country, and that is to help people feel a little bit more secure. We're kind of proud of ourselves, Phil, because this is a very non-invasive. It's not going to take but 10 seconds of anybody's time. Our officers, our sub-commanders, will be out in a variety of areas around Southern California area and some other areas around the country. And if we see someone on a cell phone, what we'll simply do is approach them, take the phone from them for just a second, see who's on the other end.
So anybody that's on a cell phone?
Yeah, you see an awful lot of people using cell phones, Phil. It's also, as we've been told by the FBI, a way that terrorists have for communicating with each other. And how do you monitor that? How do you do that effectively? Do you eavesdrop? The electronic equipment involved, the wiretapping or a phone tapping involved is very complex. What we're going to do the next 2 weeks is, when you see a Citizens Auxiliary Police subcommander approach, we are going to give off a sounder or a signal so that you'll know that we are approaching. We'll be wearing a blue armband and a pit style helmet. And when you hear this sound, and Bob, you go ahead and you can hear that, Phil, on we got that on another line.
Yeah.
When you hear that, that means we will be approaching. We will take the phone from you for just a second, just to see who's on the other end. And what we do is simply take the phone from you, and I say into the receiver, who am I speaking to? If there is no noticeable accent or there's nothing going on that we think is suspicious, if the person responds promptly, we return the phone to you, we tip our hat to you, and we're on our way. So we think this is a wonderful way for people to feel secure, and so we can just kind of take a peek and see who you're talking to because of this terror alert.
Well, the FBI has said we don't have any real specific alert. Do you think it's necessary to be, especially an organization like yours that is not an official police agency, to just walk up to people and take their phones?
Well, the FBI said there's no official alert, but by the same token, our country suffered quite a setback on September the 11th. It's just things that we want to do to make sure that everything's all right. We're not an official police agency, but all we're doing is we're taking the phone for just a second, saying into the phone, who is this? And you can be on your way. So there is no problem. That's the simple part of it. I mean, we don't want to have to hear anybody who's giving us a hard time. We do have three things that we don't want to hear. No, you may not have my phone, because that's a red flag.
Well, if you walk up to me, you're wearing a blue armband.
We got a blue armband, we do wear a pith helmet, and we are going to give a sounder. And again, I'm going to... That lets you know that we're going to be approaching.
All right, so you're walking up to me?
Right, and I take your phone, and I don't want you to say, no, you can't have the phone, because that's what we call a red flag. When we take the phone and we ask, who is this? If we hear somebody say something like, well, who is this? Or somebody trying to get kind of smart-ass with us or whatever, that's a red flag. If we approach you and we take the phone from you and you resist, that's also a red flag. So these red flags, Phil, that pop up, even though it's understandable that you don't want to give us the phone, if you have nothing to hide, you see, why are you resisting? See what I'm saying? So when you hear this and we ask for the phone, give us the phone and we'll be on our way if we don't have a red flag.
And the red flag being somebody on the other end being a smartass?
Well, if I say into the phone, hello, who is this? And I hear somebody say on the other end, well, who's this? See, that's kind of smartass. If I hear somebody say to me, no, you can't have the phone, anything like that.
Let me ask you something. What gives you the right you say you're going to take the phone?
No, we just walk up to anybody who's on a cell phone. You'll hear that. We'll take the phone out of your hand.
Are you asking for the phone?
You don't want to ask for the phone, because then they can drop a code. If there is anything going on, then they can drop a code to whoever's on the other end of the phone, and then you have a situation I think we can all regret. And we take the phone, we ask, who is this?
Well, if you're a volunteer police agency, okay, and you've heard me ask this question before, Jay, how do you have the legal right?
Well, I have the legal right because right now the country's under terror attack, terror threat, okay? So that gives me the legal right, okay, to take the phone. I have citizen's arrest power. This is a normal situation. You may be right, but we're under a war threat right now. We're on a wartime footing. But I want to stress, Phil, again, this is a simple procedure. We will use as little force as possible. Of course, that's up to you. You know, and if there's no problem...
What do you mean when that's up to me?
Well, if there's somebody resisting. But if there's no problem, we give you a tip of our cap and we're on our way, and that means you can be on your way. So be watching for our Citizens Auxiliary Police Subcommanders wearing a blue armband. And what we're looking for here is any sort of foreign accent, anything.
Can you honestly, when you take a phone from someone, and there are millions of Americans on cell phones every day.
That's correct.
And you take a phone from somebody and you hear a foreign accent on the other end, that doesn't mean it's a terrorist.
No, it does not. No, it does not.
So what do you do?
What we do then is we confiscate the phone for 24 hours. We give the individual our card and give them a phone number they can call to come pick the phone up. All we want to do is check to see their, check this to C-Star 69, call return, etc. All we're doing is again, Phil, this is not anything that comes as a surprise. When we walk into a crowd, you're going to hear that.
So when I hear that,
right,
I know you're...
We're coming to you. We're on our way. We'll walk over, we'll take the phone from you, we'll ask whoever is on the other end of the phone, who is this? They want to get smart-ass, we can play it that way. They want to be polite, we can play it that way, too. But all we're trying to do is save lives, because 3,000 people, Mr. Henry, on September 11th, had Citizens Auxiliary Police, and I put myself right there with the FBI and CIA. Had we been more vigilant, we might have been able to save lives.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number, 1-800-449-8686. The Citizens Auxiliary Police... with Operation Terror Free Cellular. They are going up to anybody with a cell phone?
Well, that's correct. I mean, there's a lot of people. It doesn't mean everybody's a terrorist.
But no, I know, but to anybody with a cell phone, you're taking the cell phone from them, and you're asking, you're basically interrogating who's on the other end.
We're not interrogating, Phil. What we are doing is we're simply saying, who is this? If they give us a good answer, you know, well, this is so-and-so, and they don't have any noticeable foreign accent, anything like that. They don't get smart-ass. We'll let you be on your way. A tip of our hat, and you're on your way. You want to get smart-ass? You want to play it that way?
Well, what do you mean by smart-ass?
Well, you know, like I say, somebody...
Someone giving you a lip on the other end?
That is correct. So be listening for this sound, and we will be in shopping mall.
All right, hold on for a minute, Jay, if you could. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Citizens Auxiliary Police, Operation Terror Free Cellular, as they are taking cell phones out of people's hands to see just who is on the other end of the phone for the next couple of weeks, as the FBI tells us to be alert for Al-Qaeda. 1-800-449-8686, Bill Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686.
Rosalind, go ahead.
Ellen, I'm going to be on the air.
Go ahead, Rosalind. You're with Jay Santos and Phil Hendry.
Okay. And you speak just a bit louder.
Yes, Rosalind, you're on the air with Phil Hendry and Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you there?
Thank you.
I'm right here. It's Jay Santos, man, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
All right. I just heard the announcement you made. And
yes, ma'am.
I think it's very scary because there's no way of guaranteeing.
Why is that phone going off?
People are in the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Well, we see a lot of people who use cell phones, Rosalind, and we just want to take a peek and make sure they're talking to the right people.
I know, I heard that, But I'm saying that these people
Why is that phone going
easily,
off?
When they take the phone
Check
away
that.
From the person who's using it,
yes,
they
ma'am.
Could take it and install some bomb device. What do they represent?
I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, ma'am. I'm trying to stop terror. I wouldn't put a bomb in your phone. I just want to make sure that you are...
And also, the other response is...
Who are you speaking to on the phone? When you talk on a cell phone, ma'am, can I ask you who you're talking to?
I'm not on a cell phone.
Well, when you are on a cell phone, who do you speak to most of the time?
My daughter.
Okay, well, then you wouldn't mind proving that, right?
No, but I don't. But my automatic reaction
would
be...
So what we would do is just we would walk over to you and take the phone away from you.
I heard that on the radio.
I
just want to speak to you. Let me talk to you.
Right. Is your daughter a smartass?
Are you kidding?
What do you mean, is her daughter a smartass?
You mentioned that if you get a smart-ass response...
Yes, ma'am.
And one of the things that you gave as an example of a smart-ass response was when you took the phone away from the person who you saw...
That's correct.
And the other person on the line said, is starting to talk to you. And automatically, the automatic response would be, who is this? It's a different voice. Now, that's not smart-ass.
No, all I'm going to do is I'm going to say, who is this? And they say, who is this?
Yeah.
That's kind of smart ass.
Why?
Well,
why is that smart ass? I don't understand.
No, here's what you say. When somebody asks you who is this, you give them your name.
Yeah. No. My first reaction would be, well, who is this? This is some. I'm here. I am talking to my daughter. And
all
of a sudden, somebody comes along.
Does your daughter have an accent? Does your daughter have an accent? Any kind of a foreign accent?
No.
All right. Then she's got nothing to worry about. I'll simply say, who is this? If she tells me her name and where she's
located. But no, you should be aware that that is not a smart-ass reply to ask who is this when you take the phone. That's a normal reaction.
I'm as well smart-ass to say, who's this?
No, I think the lady's right. It's a normal reaction. And by the way, you're taking phones out of people's hands while they're on the...
Right, but we just heard about the terrorist threat to the United States.
Wait a second. Did you say on the plane?
What's that?
Is this supposed to be on a plane?
No, the terrorists use cell phones to communicate with each other. You hear that sound?
That's the sound. I know. I heard that.
When you hear that sound, you just give us the phone, and we'll say, who is this? Now, if they want to be smart-ass, they want to play it that way, we can take it to the next level.
But I just want you to know...
Well, what are you asking the
one
people...
One of the criteria that you mentioned was that if they ask, who is this... That's smart-ass. That is not. That's a normal reaction.
Under our guidebook, that is smart-ass. I'm looking at Citizens Auxiliary Police Guidelines. This is Section 4. If they answer, who is this, that comes under smart-ass. You seem confused.
Are you wearing a uniform?
Yes, we are, ma'am. We wear a blue armband and a pith helmet.
But do people know about you?
I'm letting people know right now. And they do know when they hear this. All right, then they know we're on our way.
All we're asking for
is a name and a Social Security number to prove they are citizens.
Now, wait a minute. You're asking into the phone the people's name?
We're asking for their name and, of course, a Social Security. And as long as I'm on the subject, your name is what, dear?
Rosalind Brodsky.
All right, Rosalind, what's your Social Security number?
I don't want to give it to you. That's some
don't give him
that,
okay?
I'll be telling to the whole world.
Ma'am, I need to double check. You do have an accent. Can you tell me where you're from?
What was that?
You have an accent. Tell me
I'm from... I have an accent.
Yes, you do, ma'am. You're not playing?
Are you for real?
Ma'am, I'm simply asking...
She's got a New York accent.
That's not
a foreign accent.
That's right.
All right, I was not able to place it. That's New York?
Right.
Okay, I didn't know where that was.
Because I don't consider that an accent.
Yeah, what city do you live in, ma'am?
I'm in Coconut Creek.
Coconut Creek.
Right.
That's in the United States, right?
Florida.
Okay.
And what is your name, sir?
And my name's Jay Santos, ma'am. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Jay Sanders?
Jay Santos.
Santos?
What if the lady, this lady, she's talking to her daughter?
Hold on, Phil. That's S.
I can't hear you.
S E.
S E.
Yeah, A.
S E A.
Huh?
S E A R.
L.
What was that?
S E A R L.
L.
Huh?
J. J.
M.
M. Let me repeat that, please.
Yes, go right ahead.
Sound like that. S-E-A-R-L-O-G-M?
Yes, that's right. Santa's. Ma'am, could you mail me your cell phone so I can check the call history?
I don't have a cell phone.
All right, but when you do talk to your daughter, can you mail it to me so I can check the cell history on that?
Let me ask you a question. Your last name is Santos?
Yeah.
What do you mean, S-E-A-R-L-O-J-M?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
That is how it's pronounced, all right? That my family.
What language?
My family's from Croatia.
From where? Croatia?
From Croatia, yes, ma'am.
You know, they had a lot of spies from Croatia.
I got another question. What if the woman doesn't want to give it?
What?
There was a plane hijacked by Croatians a few years ago.
Wow. Anyway,
Let me ask you something. What if the woman doesn't want to hand you her phone?
If she does not give us the phone?
Well, if she had feeling of security with you, there would be no reason for not to hand you the phone.
We slapped the phone out of her hand.
What?
We'll slap the phone out of your hand.
All right. Jay, thank you very much, Rosalind.
It's Rosalind what?
I said Brodsky.
How do you spell that?
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
B-R-O-D-S-K-Y.
No, S-K-Y.
S-A-Y.
No, S-K-Y.
B-R-O-D-S-A-Y.
No, you're not saying it right.
All right, B-R-O.
D.
D. T.
D is in David.
D is in, I'm terribly sorry. B-R-O-D.
S-K-Y.
S-K-I? How do you
pronounce it? We must have a bad connection.
All right, man, what I got, here's what I got. G-R-U-V-E-I.
Well, that's not Brodsky, that's Groove.
Now, you didn't get what I said.
What did you say, ma'am? You said?
I said Brodsky. I said B as in boy.
B as in boy.
R-O-D as in David.
R as in what?
What?
R as in what?
As in Rosalind.
All right, R as in Rosalind. O as in?
O as in orange.
Okay. Then D as in David.
Yeah.
And S as in Leonard.
What?
I mean,
S as in Sam.
Sam.
K.
K as in what?
K as in kitten.
And then Y as
That's
in,
right.
Right. Y as in what?
What?
Why are you asking why as in what? Why as in yellow?
Yo-yo?
Yeah, yo-yo. There you go. Yo-yo.
I can't read my own writing. I don't know that.
Brodsky. Never mind, Rosalind. Thank you.
What is your social security number again?
I'm not giving it to you.
All right, I do need something. I need a bank, current balance in your bank account then.
Are you kidding?
I need to have that. How old is your daughter, ma'am? Anything. Just give me a number. How old are you?
I am
80. What's your phone number? You're 80.
All right.
That's right.
Never mind, Rosalind. Don't give him any more information.
Okay. Are you interfering with the anti-terrorist?
Oh, shut up.
Well, okay.
Groovy.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state laws.
By the way, Phil, what's your name?
Henry.
That's H as in...
And forget it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Eight six eight six. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Jay, there was a situation last weekend where you took the cell phone from a woman who was calling 911 because her husband had fallen with a heart attack. Am I clear on that?
So as the Bradley case, I want to be clear that that was her fault. We played the sounder, and I'll give it to you again if Charlie can... Okay, she heard the sounder, and she did not respond. We assumed it was a code C, that she had somehow dropped a man, and we went with a forceful removal. And when we used a two-man, usually a male-female combination. The male will point out the female, I should say, will point out a sale sign or something that a woman would be interested in. Look over there, there's half off on something, etc. She'll look over, we'll grab the phone, and then run away.
Now, but the woman was calling 911. She wasn't talking to a terrorist, and you guys running around and taking cell phones out of people's hands, you might be interrupting an emergency call, okay?
That is a situation when they hear this sound, they should disengage the phone call. We're very happy to call emergency for them. They shouldn't do that. If you want to be smart-ass about it, smart-ass right back.
Smart-ass. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kaylee, go ahead. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just was wondering, like, what company do you work for? Like, what authorization do you have?
I work for Citizens Auxiliary Police, man. We are an independent volunteer police agency throughout the southeast, southwest United States.
And, okay, one thing I wanted to comment on is that I have a lot of friends that are foreign.
That thing keep going off?
Because I've got two subcommanders working for me today.
Well, okay, I went abroad for 9 months. I was in Norway during 9/11.
You did what, ma'am? What were you doing over there?
I was going to school. Going to college.
Okay, that's right there. That's a red flag.
Oh, a red flag for nothing.
Wait a minute.
American citizen. I went to school abroad.
When your country was being attacked, were you not here?
Because I went in June. But listen, I have friends that don't speak English that I talk to now.
You don't have...
There's no way that, like...
Do you have a hazmat license or anything? I mean, I'm just trying to...
Let her finish, okay? She went overseas.
I went overseas to school.
Whereabouts?
I went to Norway.
Scandinavia.
Do you know where that is? Like Europe?
I don't understand why you go there.
Anyways,
Did you know we were being attacked?
I'm working for the CIA when I get out of college.
Did you know we were being attacked?
Not in June, no, because it was before it happened.
All right, well, 263.
And I have friends that don't speak English, and I speak to them on my cell phone all the time.
What language do they speak?
If you were to take my phone and ask them who are you?
Right.
They wouldn't even know what you said. They would have no clue.
All we would do in that situation, Kaylee, is take your phone, we'd give you our card, you can get the phone in 24 hours.
But you know what? You are being a fascist, like, eccentric psycho. You are the people that are
psycho.
Like... Yes, because that's totally over the edge. You're the ones that are making Americans look bad. It's not every person with a foreign accent, every person that is not from the U.S. You said yourself your family is from Croatia. My family is Norwegian.
Well,
like,
your
I might have been
Norwegian.
Born.
Yeah,
my
family. We speak good English.
Yeah, that
okay,
doesn't
we're
matter.
Not,
that
we're
is
not
nothing.
With accent,
you know what? You're a racist. You're
how
a racist.
How am I racist?
Yeah, you think everyone
right
that has a foreign accent and doesn't speak English is a terrorist.
No, ma'am.
That's
BS.
That is
suspicious.
Yes.
You got Norwegian relatives? That's completely over the top.
My gosh. Then why don't you come to the Tri-State area? North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. Majority of us are all Norwegian, Scandinavian background.
That's a red flag.
Oh, my gosh. Then you better come and arrest the entire Tri-State area.
I'm not arresting anybody, ma'am. What I do want to do is get your call return.
Right.
Take a look and see what's going on with you.
Okay, my call return is Phil Hendry, to talk to idiots like you that have no clue about anything about government. Security or anything.
Al-Qaeda's going to attack us, blow up a building. And the Norwegians have a history of terrorism that goes back to World War II.
Right, and they've been neutral to everyone. They have never been in any wars where they've been on any side.
The Norwegians?
World War II, they were invaded in World War II, and the Germans had, taken over Norway. They had, the only time that they've ever been...
That's really interesting, Kaylee. I'd love to hear the whole history of Norway, but... You know, I got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, you've got bigger fish to fry by jumping at people that are innocent, like a woman trying to save her husband's life.
Let me ask you a question.
A mother trying to speak to her daughter.
If you hear that sound, aren't you going to give the phone to me?
I would laugh at you. That's what I would do. I would laugh at you.
Well, ma'am, then I'd have to drop you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting for you then.
How come Norwegians
carry
guns in the biathlon? You don't have an answer for that. One of the reasons for that...
They carry guns in a biathlon?
Yeah, why?
That's part of the sport.
You know, Kaylee, I'd love to hear the history of Norway, but I really
but
don't
know. You know
care.
What? It has nothing to even do with that. It has to do with everything else, too.
If you hear that sound, what are you going to do?
I'm going to do nothing, because you're like the when I was in high school and we used to have a hall patrol. You're like the nerdy kid that can't like pass enough tests and whatever or have any friends to actually get a real job.
Okay, and that, if you're giving me that kind of, now you're being smart-ass. That's what we call smart-ass. It's in our manual. We
yes,
drop
maybe
you.
I am right now.
Well, we drop you, and we take your phone.
That hasn't just fine.
You drop her, huh?
Well, we'd have to take her down using using the technique we use the Bradley woman.
In other words, you'd go up to Kaylee, you'd point out a sale on tights at 50% off, and while she was distracted, you'd take her phone and run.
That's correct.
I feel so much more safer, Phil, knowing that men like him are going around protecting us from all these
terrorists.
Turn your stupid sounder off, will you? Thank you, Kaylee.
Yes. No.
What'd you say?
Find some real men to talk on your show sometime, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
So
bye-bye.
Oh, you call me a pussy?
See you later, Jay.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, the voice of Jay Santos was done by me. Oh, the music. The voice of Jay Santos performed by Phil Hendry. He's an entirely made-up guy. People who call him talking to him thought he was real.
Okay, Santos.
We gotta hear this again.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken,
yes, we do.
Any authorized organization swings into action. It may be called the state police, state troopers, militia, the rangers,
or the citizen auxiliary police.
These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state law.
Thank you, America. And remember, when you hear this sound, run. Let me just try this.
Bug off. 1-800-449-8686. That's pretty weird. All right, that's a pretty weird way to kick a Monday off, huh? It's the Phil Hendry Show here. 1-800-449-8686. God. That's a red flag. Okay, anyway, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com. Look at our wall of female listeners, check out the Celebrity Ass page, and get that backstage pass. Pick up a backstage pass for $6.95, gives you all of our audio archives, the Listen Live 30-day archive. You got it. PhilHendryShow.com.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Well, I say this as a Laker fan. The Lakers were lucky they got out of that series alive. They're lucky they're moving on. They are a lucky ball club. Now, why do I say they're lucky? Am I saying it for the shock value? Well, maybe. I know I got your attention. No, the fact is, if you look at the way fouls are called in the NBA, there's always a preponderance of fouls against the visiting team when another team's on the home court, and the other team goes to that court, and the fouls are on them. It just, it's obvious the referees do play favorites when it comes to fouls in basketball games, and on which team they call them. The Lakers go to the line 27 times in the fourth quarter on Friday night. The game was at the Staples Center. Now, true, in yesterday's game, the fouls started to kind of pile up in favor of the Lakers toward the end of the game. Yesterday's game, frankly, is not really a very good, you know, it's not a very good comparison. It's not a good game to look at when we look at a series, because in yesterday's game, the Lakers did, not only did they outplay Sacramento, but Sacramento blew it at the line. I mean, all those free throws they were clanking in the first half and in the second half. But the fact of the matter remains, Friday night's game at the Staples Center, this was a ball game that the referees did take control of. They did dish out a few more calls on the Kings than they probably deserved. I saw a whole lot of hacking going on at the end of the game yesterday against the Kings. Nobody was calling any fouls on the Lakers. And the Lakers have moved on by virtue of the fact that there is a sense. Now, I've been following professional basketball for many, many years. I had season tickets back in the day when I didn't have a family and I didn't have anybody to support other than myself. I actually bought two season tickets to the Lakers back in the 80s. So I watched the Showtime Lakers. I've seen referees in the NBA, and I know that there is a tendency, there is a kind of a rhythm to the way that they call these basketball games, and there is a tendency sometimes to either prop up the veteran as opposed to the rookie. I mean, if a guy is playing in the middle and he's been in the league for a long time, and perhaps there's some young whippersnapper, some young tough dude, some guard driving the lane, and you know, is obviously he gets butchered by the veteran and they don't call a foul because in the NBA, kid, when you go down the middle, you better get prepared to get hammered. And that's just the way it goes. And welcome to the NBA. And this is the way it is. This is not a secret. This is how it happens. It's also true that home teams do tend to get the favorable calls, especially in the playoffs when it comes to personal fouls. And a visiting team does tend to come up short. And it's also true, whether the NBA wants to admit it or not, that they do want to see a big market team there in the finals as opposed to some small market club like the Sacramento Kings, which is not to say that there haven't been small market teams in the NBA finals. Orlando has been in the finals. Portland's been in the finals. San Antonio's been in the finals. Of course, nobody's saying that the network and the league got together and said, we must have Los Angeles in the finals no matter what. Nobody's saying that. Well, I'm not saying that. Maybe somebody else is saying that. But I do believe what happens is a sort of rooting interest, shall we say, on the part of officialdom in the NBA for a defending champion to move on, especially if it's a defending champion that comes from the second largest market in the country, the Lakers. So it's difficult for me to watch this series without thinking about Sacramento. I will not be able to watch this series between the Lakers and the Nets without thinking about how superior a basketball team Sacramento is to the Los Angeles Lakers. And I don't care. You can talk this to your blue in the face. They are a superior ball club. Now, position by position, I'm sure you could make an argument that the Lakers have got a little more strength than the Kings. But I'm the total basketball team, the total shooting basketball team that they got in Sacramento is superior to the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team. Period. I saw Derek Fisher, the other guard, clanking more shots in that ball. I don't know why that guy was still on the floor. Then they brought Brian Shaw in. He couldn't do anything. Rick Fox came through a little bit. Kobe come through there late in the game. Shaquille O'Neal was bricking more shots than I've ever... I don't think I've seen this guy brick more shots in an important game in my life. He couldn't hit from 10 feet out. If you gave the guy, you know, if everybody was off the floor and you let him get about six tries at it, he couldn't hit from 10 feet out. He could stand there, well, the free throw line, we all know the story there. Yeah, he was hitting his free throws. In fact, the Lakers were hitting their free throws, and it's true that Sacramento was around 53% hitting their free throws. That's what killed them. That's what murdered them. And that's choke. That's choke. But man for man, Sacramento's a better basketball team than the LA Lakers, period. That Turgaloo dude, that guy's deadly. Then that Stojanovic guy, he's scary. Then they go over there, that freaking Chris Webber, if he just shut his mouth and play a little basketball and quit with the attitude, Chris. You know, you're really boring. You're really boring with your attitude. Just play basketball. This kid Bibby is phenomenal. That other kid Bobby Jackson's phenomenal. Vlade Divac, well, he's just a big, tall, cool drink of water, but you know, whatever. I mean, he screams and he yells and he cries. But he's just big enough to kind of muscle Shaq out of there. Because if you want to get right down to it, Shaquille O'Neal is not a tremendous basketball player. He's a big, big guy. That's all he is. He doesn't particularly have great moves. He doesn't particularly have a great shooting touch. He's huge. He's huge. That's all that he is. He's huge and he's got the heart of a lion. He's not a great basketball player. I'm sure he'll probably get into the Hall of Fame. He's just a big, big dude, very intimidating to anybody that wants to go down the middle. And he's a very difficult guy to try to out-rebound, and, you know, he can't shoot a free throw. He doesn't have a particularly effective shot, any shot. I don't care what you call it. He ain't got a finger roll. He ain't got a sky hook. He hadn't got a jumper. He ain't got nothing. He's got that nice little shot that he banks high off the glass sometimes. You know, a little five-foot shot that he makes. That's kind of a cute little thing. But beyond that, he's just a big cat. Robert Horry, hot and cold. They ain't got nobody coming off the bench. Derek Fisher, like I said, he was bricking shot after shot. Kobe, this is the guy with talent coming out of his ears. Kobe's got only one tiny little problem, and I don't even think it's really that big of a problem. It's just a little problem. He wants the ball a little too much, and I can't say that that's a bad thing, but there are times when maybe a little dish off is in order and instead of trying to just do everything yourself. But hey, Lakers will go into the series. They'll probably beat the Nets in six, maybe five. Maybe they'll sweep them. They keep talking about it. We only got four games left. Holy God. Jackson's running around screaming like a madman. You know, Horry's out of position. Shaq's out of position. These guys, they're lucky to be where they are. And the Sacramento Kings, if they can keep that ball club together, and like the guy who owns the Kings, that Maloof guy, he said, "I can't. There's nothing more I can do." They said, "Well, what are you going to do now to try to improve this team?" Improve them? What do you want me to do? We've spent all the money. They got a $55 million payroll. There's nothing we can do to improve them. This team's great. They're going to have to get so good that they bounce the Lakers in four or six games, I guess. That's the only thing you can say. So tune in Wednesday night. It'll be a really boring finals. Lakers, you know, three-peat. Yay, whatever. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, sports writer for L.A. Canyon College student newspaper Dave Oliva about the upcoming NBA series right here on The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Dave Oliva is a sports writer for L.A. Canyon College newspaper. You, are you a basketball fan, Dave?
No, not really a basketball fan. I like football. I like baseball. I don't like basketball.
Why?
Well, I feel, you know, I've got confidence. I have a little bit better image of myself, I think, than most basketball fans, because most people, I think, watch basketball because they want to feel better about themselves. And I've always said, you know, if you look at the average NBA player, the game is interesting because you're tensed up not knowing who's going to mess up. I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but I think everyone knows. You were talking about what a bad player Shaq is.
Well, I don't mean he's a bad player. He's not a great player.
No, but I mean, you have to understand that Shaquille O'Neal is just stupid. He's a stupid man. He can't pass, he can't shoot, he can't run. He's big, he stands there. He's just an idiot, and when you listen to him talking at
it... You're saying Shaquille O'Neal is an idiot?
Shaquille O'Neal is an idiot, yeah. I mean, Vlade Divac's an idiot. I mean, I think the reason why we like to watch basketball is to feel better about ourselves, and the proof of that is when you go to the Laker game, or if you see it on TV, you can see, like, Jack Nicholson. You'll also see movie stars like, you know, Matthew McConaughey and John Travolta. Spike Lee is there. I mean, everybody is there because these are movie stars who like to have their ego fed. Now, why would they be at a basketball game to feed somebody else's ego when they need to have their ego fed? There's only one reason for that. They know how stupid and what a bunch of idiots the NBA players are. I mean, Magic Johnson was so stupid he got HIV, and Larry Bird was a complete idiot. If you look at Larry Bird, he was probably the biggest idiot that ever played the basketball game.
Why do you say Larry Bird's an idiot? I mean...
Well, look at the guy. He's just a big, dumb, white idiot. You know, I mean, I'm not saying the guy didn't play basketball good, but they're just so stupid, these guys, because all you're doing is you're waiting to see who's going to, you know, mess up.
Well, you're saying we like to watch stupid athletes. In other words, you're saying we like to watch stupid athletes to make ourselves feel better.
Look, the first time somebody said, I'm surrounded by idiots, was at a basketball game. And if you look at the guys like Bill Walton is a complete idiot. Grant Hill is a total dumbass. Tim Hardaway, Dr. J was probably the stupidest one that ever played. And that's why basketball is popular. That's why, if you look at it, and one of the things that I like to write about is that the Special Olympics got to be really big, right? Right, Mr. Henry, right?
Well, when you say the Special Olympics got to be, it got to be very significant and popular.
Right, and the reason why is so you can look at idiots do stuff not too good, like watching a retarded kid do the 50-yard dash.
Well, wait a minute. A retarded boy or girl is not the same as an idiot.
No, you're right about that. But most people think that they're looking at idiots. So they'll say, look at this idiot. Makes you think you can do the 50-yard dash, too, when you see some idiot do it. Okay?
But that's not the case with the Special Olympics.
No, but I'm saying that proves, if you listen to what I'm saying, sir, I'm saying that proves most people want to see idiots because it does make them feel better.
Look, there are all kinds of players in the NBA. When you say that Shaquille O'Neal is an idiot and he can't play the game, there are all kinds of players in the NBA that cannot score on him.
All right, but that's because they're stupid.
All right, so the guys that can't are idiots too.
The guy stands there and doesn't do anything. So
they're all idiots?
No, I mean, Kobe's smart, I think. Michael Jordan was smart. Isaiah Thomas was smart. But most of them are idiots. You know, who play the game. Basketball is the only sport that offers a chance for a complete idiot, you know, to make money and actually play well. And I'll give you the proof. Okay, I'm not an idiot. I could get out onto the basketball floor right now, and I could play up against Shaq, and I could score on him 7 times out of 10.
Okay, well, I have no idea whether you're saying is true.
I could play, not because I'm great. But I could put some moves on him. I could do a reverse layup on him. I could put all kinds of moves on him because he's an idiot. Look at him, man. After the games, he can't speak. He can't talk right. Also, Vlade Divac is a complete idiot. And the Sacramento Kings, Mr. Henry, I heard you talking about...
You're going to tell me they're all idiots?
No, I mean, I think Chris Webber is probably... Mike Bibby is the smartest guy. Chris Webber's an idiot. But if you look at the Sacramento Kings... During their play, all of them have their mouths open. That's a sure sign of an idiot walking around with his mouth half open. Vlade had his mouth open. That guy Stojanovic has his mouth open. And the other guy, Turkoglu, they all play with their mouth open.
Maybe they're breathing hard. Maybe they're having a difficult time getting air. I mean, to call everybody an idiot with the exception of just a few of them, it seems, it does, I think you got to have intelligence to play basketball. Don't you agree?
No, I don't agree. No.
You don't have to have a basic intelligence to play?
No, I mean, all you're doing is you're bouncing a ball down the floor and throwing it at a hoop. There's no plays to remember like in football. There's no plays to remember like in hockey. There's no knowing where the runner is, knowing who the best hitter is, knowing how you're going to play the field in baseball. There's no, kicking the ball back to a guy behind you. Like in soccer and everything that they do there. Only in basketball can a complete, stupid, idiot play. And if you look at the proof is, have you ever been around autistic people?
Autistic?
Yes, sir.
No, I've never been around autistic. I've seen autistic people.
Okay, if you've been around autistic people, all of them have their mouths open all the time. That's the one thing about autistic people.
Well, now, if you are going to go down the road where you're going to call autistic people stupid, okay, sir, I can't have that.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not.
Well, then you're saying autistic people have their mouths open, and so therefore you're going to make the case that they're stupid?
No, I'm just saying they're not stupid, but NBA players got their mouths open. They're idiots, okay? I could play Shaq one-on-one because all he does is stand there, and he's too stupid to do nothing else. The people that are real basketball fans are losers who go out and watch to make themselves feel better. And
all right, so Jack Nicholson, Diane Cannon, all these people are losers, okay?
Yeah, Nicholson's a loser.
I mean, the guy made all kinds of big movies.
No, he's a loser now. He don't make. And Diane Cannon with her flat alcoholic ass and Penny Marshall.
All right, well, you know, getting personal on people. What about Denzel Washington?
I've never seen Denzel Washington, no game.
Yeah, he was.
No, sir, I've never seen...
Yeah, he was. Denzel Washington was at a Laker game.
No, sir, that was Morgan Freeman, and he's an idiot, okay?
That was Denzel Washington.
No, sir, that was Morgan Freeman, and he's an idiot.
Whatever.
I mean, the IQ of a city with a basketball team is 8 to 10 points lower than cities without a basketball team, and the reason is because the idiots on the team bring down the average IQ of the city. See what I'm saying? In other words,
if a city has a certain IQ and they have idiots on a basketball team,
that brings it down.
All right, we're talking to Dave Oliva. You're not a basketball fan, are you?
No, I like the game, but only because it makes me feel better about myself. Look, when they interview...
All right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Dave Oliva is with us, sports writer for L.A. Canyon College student newspaper. Shaquille O'Neal's an idiot. Vlade Divac's an idiot. Most of the Lakers are idiots. What about Rick Fox?
He's a total idiot, man. I mean, when they tried to interview Shaq after the game, the guy with the mic asked him a question, and Shaq stood there sweating. He was all cross-eyed. And that's another thing about it. He's cross-eyed, okay? And he's going, he's an idiot, man. When all you do is mumble into the microphone, you got to be an idiot.
Well, Shaquille O'Neal was tired after that game.
Yeah, you know, he's tired after every game, man. All he ever does is stand at the microphone and go, I mean, I tried to do it for my nephew on the phone the other day, and he thought it was a riot, okay? Because my nephew doesn't like basketball at all. I said, you ought to hear Shaq O'Neal. He goes, that's all he ever does.
Right. How can a guy be a sports writer, cover basketball, and think that basketball players are idiots?
You don't have to think they're smart, man. There's nothing that says, what are you talking about?
No, but I mean, you cover the game, you like the game, but you don't like the players.
No, I like the players.
All right, so in other words, you cover the game, you like the game, but you just think that they're all morons.
They're absolute utter idiots, man. Larry Bird was the dumbest dumbass. Dr. J was the dumbass. Wilt Chamberlain was a dumbass. If you go back down through the years, down in time, you'll see that Bill Walton was the biggest dumbass that ever... God, man, and I still look at the guy. Look at Bill Walton. He's a dumbass.
Bill Walton is a very well-spoken guy.
No, he's not, man.
Yes, he is. He does all the color commentary for NBC. He's very forceful.
Yeah, well, he talks big opinions, but he's just a dumbass. If you listen to what he says, it doesn't make no sense. Basketball fans don't usually, also another thing about basketball fans is they don't usually have a good job and they live through dumbasses, okay?
They make themselves feel better by looking at the dumbasses on the court.
Yeah, because they got no good job.
1-800-449-8686. With me is Dave Oliva. Why do people like basketball? Because it makes them feel better about their own lives because the guys in the NBA are a bunch of dumbasses and idiots. He says that Vlade Divac, Shaq O'Neal, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, they were all stupid. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
With Dave Oliva from the L.A. Canyon College student newspaper, basketball players are idiots, you say.
Yes, sir. I mean, if you think about it, the first thing that we learn as a little kid is to learn how to bounce a ball. And these guys never went no further than that. They're idiots. And they play with their mouths open. Half the time when they go to wipe the sweat off their face, they do it with their bare arm because they forget they're wearing a short-sleeved shirt, okay? And
they don't forget that.
No, I swear. Why would you wipe sweat off your face with a bare arm, okay? And the other thing I think needs to be pointed out, their pants are way too big. They don't even know how to go shop for pants. They never have been shopping for pants, so the pants are way too big. This is the biggest bunch of idiots I have ever seen. And Shaquille O'Neal, what an idiot!
All right, I mean he's going to be playing the Nets. All the Nets are idiots.
Yeah, the Nets are all idiots. Keith Van Horn's the stupidest idiot. Also, Jason Kidd's the stupidest idiot. They got sweatbands on their wrists so they don't hurt themselves and they bang their chest. Just idiots. That's why I love to watch basketball because they're idiots.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here in the Phil Henry Show. Sherry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just can't believe. My husband and I are into sports. We enjoy it. We watch these players. And to hear him talk and say everybody's an idiot, I think he's the idiot. He's the moron. And why don't you cut him off? We don't want to hear him.
Do you like to watch basketball, ma'am?
We watch basketball. We watch football. We watch tennis.
Okay.
We watch baseball. We watch everything.
Baseball.
And we enjoy it.
What's
and
baseball?
They're not idiots.
What's baseball?
Not Pardon me?
Not spaceball. Baseball.
Oh, I thought you said spaceball.
No,
that?
Baseball.
Okay. Baseball players, they're smart. Football players, they're smart. But basketball players are the biggest idiots that have ever played of the game of basketball.
Why are they idiots?
Sherry, you need to turn your radio down, okay, hon?
Yeah, okay, turn your radio down.
Spaceballs was a movie. See, that's the only thing, you know? Do you watch basketball?
Yes, we watch basketball.
Well,
we watched it last night. And it was exciting.
Does it make you feel better about your life?
What?
Does it make you feel better about your life because you're looking
at
an idiot?
Make it feel better about my life?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Lady, only women who like other women like to watch sports.
Whatever that means.
No, I wanted to say to her, you got to be an idiot to want to watch a bunch of idiots.
Here is Ronnie. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, the biggest idiot I've ever heard of is when someone else compares autistic people and Special Olympics to any type of sport.
What?
That in itself is a sport.
What is?
The Special Olympics and the games that the autistic people play.
Are you in that?
Well, I enjoy watching it because it gives you feelings and hope for people like that. And the biggest idiot...
Well, ain't you... Are you like in Special Olympics or you just watch it?
No, but listening to you...
Wait a minute.
Listening to you...
What?
I bet you got cut from the Special Olympics because you're a big idiot, self-made, self-centered.
What are you talking about, man? You know that Shaq's an idiot.
Hey... If you could take Shaq, why haven't you tried out, improved your point,
and show the world
how brilliant you are? Most of those guys have money. They have their businesses.
Every time I call the Lakers to take Shaq on one-on-one, they never return my call.
Well, you know why? Because you're an idiot.
Oh, I'm an idiot because I'm saying, hey, Shaq, I can take you anytime one-on-one because he's so stupid, he doesn't know how to defend the basket. You know, Shaq has an S on the front of his SUV. Do you know why? So he knows which car is his.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
stands for Shaq's car. That's why.
You know,
bull crap.
That is the truth, man.
No, the big thing about professional sports, be it football, baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever, is entertainment.
Yeah, but
and the
you
people
can't be
that
entertained
are,
by a dumbass who is...
Yeah.
But what about Larry Bird? What do you think of him?
I think he was one of the greatest basketball players and something else.
He's
these
an idiot.
These guys set examples and are heroes for small kids. And
he was an idiot.
Look up to,
he's a hero for idiots.
Yeah.
That's really great, Dave, just calling everybody an idiot.
Larry Bird was a hero for all the idiots of America.
Well,
and the same thing for Will Chamberlain and Bob Cousy, too.
Yeah.
Bob Cousy was an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have children?
Do I what?
Do you have children?
Who, me?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Do you have children?
I don't understand.
Yeah, you are an idiot.
You're an idiot.
What? I'm an idiot?
Idiot. Do you have offspring?
Hey, man, were you in a pole vault or something in the Special Olympics?
Well, if I were, I'd be proud of it.
How come they have their names on their jerseys?
The same reason you do on your underwear, so you don't fire your girlfriends.
So I don't fire my girlfriend?
So you don't wear your girlfriend's underwear.
Well, that's why these idiots have to have their names on their jerseys, so they don't put on, like, Kobe puts on Shaq's jersey. Give me a break. What an idiot.
You know why the numbers are on the jersey?
Why their numbers are on their jerseys?
Yeah.
Why?
So stupid people like you can learn to count.
Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Idiot.
Okay, guys.
It's their IQ. That's Shaq's IQ is like number 3.
That's not his number. 1-800-4... Good Lord. 1-800-449-8686. Dave Oliva, sports writer for L.A. Canyon College newspaper on why he likes basketball, because all of the players in the NBA are complete and utter morons, and it makes him feel better about his life. Among the idiots, Larry Bird, Dr. J, Wilt Chamberlain, and Bob Cousy, all of them idiots. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Go ahead.
Shaquille O'Neal, man, on one road trip when the Toronto Raptors first came to play in the NBA, okay?
All right.
He didn't want to go on the road trip to play the Raptors. You know why?
Why?
He had just been to see Jurassic Park, and he's scared of them. Now, you know what a
The Raptors? Because they named themselves after a dinosaur?
Because they named themselves after a dinosaur. He's scared? What kind of an idiot? And then they tell him, no, man, it's like a basketball team, which he should have...
He didn't know the Toronto Raptors were a basketball team?
No, he knew that. He knew that. But he was scared. They said, let's go play. Let's go see the Raptors. And he's like, is that stuff for real? He's an idiot.
Jesus.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you.
Here is Jody on the Phil Henry Show. Jody?
Hello?
Hi, Jody. Go ahead.
Hey, who's this guy that we're talking to? What does he do?
Dave Oliva is a sports writer with the L.A. Canyon College student newspaper.
I was wondering because I don't think he really has any idea what he's talking about because it sounds like he's jealous that he's not in the NBA or something.
I just got done telling you how stupid they are.
Why are they stupid? They have immense amount of talent.
Oh, okay, that doesn't mean that you're smart. That just means you know how to bounce the ball up and down. Jesus.
No, okay, but can you do that? Can you, play in the NBA and make millions and millions of dollars?
Let me ask you something. Could Albert Einstein play in the NBA? No. Was he smarter than Shaquille O'Neal? I think.
He's just an ass who wants to be in the NBA who's not.
Yeah, I just proved my point, and you don't know how to argue against it.
Oh, that's exactly it.
Albert Einstein couldn't play in no NBA. And another thing, you want to know how stupid they are?
How stupid are they? They're not stupid.
Derek Fisher? Where's that? Do you know who Derek Fisher is?
Yes, he plays for the Lakers.
Right, he wears that yellow headband.
Yes, I know who he is.
He thinks his ears are going to fall off or something. That's how stupid he is. He doesn't wear that for sweat.
Whatever.
Could Stephen Hawking
I'm a Lakers fan. I grew up in L.A. I lived there for 20 years.
Okay.
And the Lakers are seriously the bomb. They're so good.
Who's smarter, Stephen Hawking or Shaquille O'Neal?
Who?
Who's smarter?
Shaquille O'Neal, it doesn't matter if they're smart. They have talent. They play in the NBA.
Yeah.
They're making money.
So you agree.
As much money as they were.
So you agree with me. They're idiots.
They're not idiots.
Yeah, you just said
that. How would you know that they're idiots?
Because I've seen them. He's so stupid. A guy that wears a headband so his ears won't fall off? You gotta be kidding me.
Whatever. He's not wearing it because his ears are going to fall off.
Yeah, really? Why don't you talk to him?
Well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll try to call him. And
a lot of these guys, they think the Washington Wizards are a team with, like, Harry Potter or something. I mean, I'm not kidding.
You're not kidding?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me Derek Fisher wears a headband because he's afraid his ears are going to fall off?
Something like that.
Maybe he just wants to wear it because it's cute.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You really know what you're talking about.
Larry Bird, and I'm sure you really do, too.
I do.
You're an ass.
Okay.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot. You proved to me. You're an idiot. Just like anybody who watches the NBA is an idiot.
Can we stop calling each other names here?
No, we're sorry. What it is, man. She's a stupid idiot. Larry Bird dressed in a Matador outfit to play the Bulls because he thought he was going to go fight real Bulls one time. Now, that's a...
Bull crap.
I swear to God.
Bull crap.
I swear to God. You can ask, man, two guys that were beat writers for Inside Sports Magazine. Bird was such an idiot that... When they first got into the NBA...
I mean, every time they played the Bulls?
No, the first time.
Guy's in a Matador outfit.
Yes, sir. Most of those basketball players are covered with tattoos because it's a way to remember their name. They look at their arms. It's incredible. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
I don't buy it, man.
Well, okay, you can be an idiot, too.
All right, great. I'm an idiot. Ziggy, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question. What's the point of having this guy on? He's not saying anything.
Yeah, I am.
You're just letting him take over the he's taking over the show, and he's using the word idiot.
No.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I know exactly.
He can't out-talk me. I've been to more NBA games than you have, man.
I know. I've been to more NBA games than you. Dip boy.
Hello? He said if your ass was square...
I heard what he said.
You'd crap a brick.
Basketball players are notorious for screwing around with ladies is because they can't remember what their wives look like. And
all right, thanks a lot. They're all idiots.
Go Lakers.
Jeez. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Dave. That was me doing the voice of Dave, and I did the voice there of whoever the hell else that was that we did on the show today. Who was that? What was that character we did? Oh, Jay Santos, yeah. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. Our website is philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com. Pick up our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD for the year 2001, as a matter of fact. 1-877-616-7445 to order. 1-877-616-7445. Or go to our website, philhenryshow.com. You can get all of this classic crap right there on that CD. It's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, the Lakers last night played a heart-filled, heartfelt basketball game. But Shaq is kind of an idiot. No, I'm kidding. He's a fine guy. Let me tell you a story about Shaq. When I first got on the air in Los Angeles, I did a phony voice. I was pretending that I was Shaquille O'Neal. And this was, we couldn't have been on the air more than two nights in L.A. And I got on the air and I was pretending that I was Shaquille O'Neal, talking about how, you know, I wanted to be an actor someday and I wanted to get out of basketball. And I thought that the what was that movie he did, Shazam or Kazam or something? And, you know, that was really like Academy Award material, and so on and so forth. And people called just absolutely outraged. And the Lakers called the next day, threatening me with legal action. And then we explained to the Lakers what we were doing. And he sent over an autographed basketball. So, in other words, what I'm saying here is the man had a great sense of humor, had a great deal of class, not unlike some football players that I've known. Or baseball players, for that matter, and, you know, took it in stride and was a very nice guy. And he sent over an autographed basketball, and guess who has it? The general manager of the radio station. It never got into my office, even though it was intended for me. Thank you. All right. How do you like that? That basketball belongs to me. Somewhere it's out there. I don't know where it is. The GM of the radio station got a hold of, well, it's all right. I guess it's the thought that counts. But that's the kind of class guy that he was. Very nice guy. I could go on the air for an hour, talk about how he likes to wear tights and do Shakespeare in the park, and he's not flipping his lid. I mean, they thought that it was, they didn't know what it was. I mean, it was, you know, what we do here sometimes blows people's minds. They don't get exactly what's happening until we explain it to them. And then, oh, okay. Well, in that case, here's we'll drop our lawsuit. Here's a signed basketball. Unbelievable. So the Lakers will play the Nets. It'll be two big markets. It's going to be a big money bonanza for NBC. Everybody's going to be happy. What more do you want? Everybody says the Lakers will win a series. I'd just love to see the Nets really take them to seven games and really push this thing to the edge. I would just like to see the Lakers, given the fact that they got the pass in this last Sacramento series, that they got a few of the calls, that it was, you know, kind of a questionable series from the standpoint of officiating. I would love to see the Nets just make them sweat for it. Really make them sweat for it. Some people say it's going to be four and out. I don't know. Network would like to see seven games. But you know what? Basketball is one of those sports that down through the years has evolved. It's become bigger than anything that, I mean, in this town, it used to be Dodgers. This used to be the Dodgers town, L.A. Now you can't get arrested if you're wearing that Dodger freaking blue. Nobody cares. Now it's the Lakers town. That's how things, and it never was really a football town. Not maybe since the 50s. I'm telling you, the last time anybody cared about football around here, it was 1955, and it was Mamie Van Doren, and it was, I don't know who. Those were the celebrities that were out there in the stands. Mamie Van Doren and Lucille Ball, or Desi Arnaz, something like that. And with the success of the Lakers, the celebrity count at the games just keeps going up and up band up, band up. Man, they don't have enough time during a commercial break to show you every movie star that's sitting there down courtside, do they? It used to be, Jack Nicholson's here. Then it was, Jack Nicholson's here, and oh, there's Billy Crystal. Then, Jack Nicholson, Billy Crystal, oh, look, there's Meg Ryan, just some other, and then, Jack Nicholson, Meg Ryan, Billy Crystal, there's Denzel Washington, there's Matthew McConaughey, there's Courtney Cox, and now we've got Matthew Perry, and over there is the whole freaking cast of Friends. They can't go anywhere without each other, okay? And there's the whole cast of Third Rock from the Sun, John Lithgow, and there's Dustin Hoffman. And there's all the guys that you would never ordinarily see anywhere. They're the best, real reclusive types. Robert De Niro, Sean Connery. There's Diane Cannon, and there's Diane Cannon's ass, and there, you know. I had season tickets back in the 80s, and I would go to the games. I had two seats underneath the, I think it was the Western Goal at the Great Western Forum. I had two seats. And I would go either with a girlfriend or one of my buddies. And I swear to God, I sat there one game, and there was a guy next to me, and he was talking to his wife, and he's saying, there's Eddie, and there's Buffy. Oh, there's Mary and Jay. He was doing all that. He was pointing out all of his friends and everybody from the office who made the game. They couldn't have cared less about the game. But I got to tell you this, all fairness, people who go to those games are big fans. Big, the higher up you go in the arena, the worse. I've been to Celtic-Lakers series where the fist fights just didn't end. From the tip-off to the end of the game, there was a fist fight going constantly in the colonnade section there at the Forum. Constantly. It was beautiful. All the Celtic fans who got their little seats way up there at the top, just a melee, a fist-swinging melee. It was wonderful. You know? So that's where the real fans are. I would love it if they'd, like, Jack Nicholson would sit up there. Get into a fight. That'd be... Okay. 1-800, and Jack Nicholson's here. She's just wailing on some guy with a beer bottle. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Okay, this hour we'll get some calls from you on your favorite bit from the Jay Santos portion of our program. Jay Santos is the head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And you know what we're trying to do is put together different CDs based on different characters. And that is, we're not just going to do a best of CD at the end of the year anymore. We're going to have the best of Jay Santos. We might have the best of Bobby Dooley. And I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on the best Jay Santos bits that they've ever heard, but our number is 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos is the head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and along with other members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, they go out and they, quote, take a peek over the shoulder of the police, end quote, to make sure that they need that they're not in need of any assistance, or that if they do need assistance, that they stand at the ready. Now, there have been many Jay Santos bits down through the years. And, of course, Jay is a member of an organization that was founded by Major Elvis Newton. He's a major, but he's the head of the organization. Jay, on the other hand, is subservient to Major Elvis Newton, and he's a brigadier general. Now, the guys that are just the patrol officers, they're called sub-commanders, and I think the guy that's just below Jay is a rear admiral. So the top three positions in the Citizens Auxiliary Police are Major Elvis Newton, and he's never interviewed. He's kind of like Mullah Omar. He's just quiet, you know. And then Jay is like the Bin Laden. And then below that is Rear Admiral I don't know who. Yeah, it changes from time to time. And then they have, at the very bottom there of the command structure, the sub-commanders, of which there's about 9 or 10. Now, the Citizens Auxiliary Police has been at the forefront of, quote, law enforcement, as they say, and, quote, saving lives, end quote, for a long time. I guess if I think back on Jay Santos and some of the things that he's done with his organization, I recall one time him breaking into people's homes to make sure that they'd rewound their videotapes before, to make sure they'd rewound their videotapes before they were taken back to Blockbuster. And in fact, he at the end of the bit, I think he was going through women's underwear drawers. You know, he was taking a peek into women's underwear drawers to make sure that there were no unrewound videotapes or videotapes that were simply overdue. So that was an early Jay Santos bit. And for some of you tonight, you'll be hearing another Jay Santos bit. For some of you, you've already heard a Jay Santos bit, depending upon where you're listening to our program. Anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Can you think of a Jay Santos bit there, Chris, or Janice, over the past year or two that we might want to put onto our CD? Well, I'll think about it here, and you think about it, and we'll just sit here and stare at each other and think about it, all right? Here's Pat. Pat, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, pleasure to be on your show. I love Thanks. It. I listen to it. I turn everybody I can on to it. And Jay Santos is my favorite character.
He's cool.
Oh, I love him. I can't remember the name of the bit, but it's the first one you did of him after 9/11. It might have been the first bit you did after 9/11.
Oh, where he was swabbing people's noses?
Yeah, yeah. And they had to know who won the first Super Bowl or they were terrorists.
Yes, yes. He was asking them questions.
God.
And then
I drove off the road when I heard that.
And then he was swabbing people's noses to see if there was anthrax up there.
Yeah. It was right when the anthrax hit, but it was right closely after 9/11. It's hilarious.
There was another one when Jay's son thought that Bin Laden looked too much like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to get rid of all the Santa Clauses.
And I know you're talking about Jay, but I love it when you got Jeff Donner on and he's talking about bringing Bin Laden's skull out of the cave. I mean, that just kills me.
That's
every
pretty
time.
Cool. Yeah. All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, man.
Hey. Yeah, there was one right after 9/11 where he talked about and then he was going to cram a microscope up their noses, and so he could look in and see if there was anthrax in there. And of course, I said, "Well, what are you doing?" He says, "Well, you got to look up the nose," and he didn't know how to use a microscope. He's doing mobile nasal swabs for anthrax. And then the other bit was the Santa Claus bit where his son saw Bin Laden on TV one day and pointed to the screen and went, "Santa," and that disturbed Jay, as I'm sure it would disturb a lot of us. The Easter one was funny. I don't know what one that is. The Easter one was funny. Here is Gino on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You're very good therapy for me. Actually.
Thanks.
Thank you. I wanted to say that my favorite bit was the one where Jay was going to go to the people's homes and inspect their cars for the mileage that people were driving, all-terrain vehicles and aquatic vehicles and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious.
Well, wait a minute. Was that the one where he didn't want women driving SUVs? Because
No. He was going to take a peek around in the people's garages.
And make sure that the mileage wasn't too high on their SUVs?
Yes. The older people that were, should be.
Oh, because old people who are running around RVs and using up all the gas, yeah.
Absolutely fabulous.
Exactly, yeah. Cool, thanks.
All right, sure, thank you.
Yeah, then he went to Gobbler's Knob one year to stop Groundhog Day because he felt that the term Gobbler's Knob was sexually charged, and he felt it was wrong. He felt it was wrong for people to take their children to Gobbler's Knob because it was an obvious sexual innuendo. Anyway, here is John on the Phil Henry Show. John?
Yeah, hey, Phil. There was a Jay Santos bit sometime in the last year that seemed to really strike a chord with people. It was pretty timely because it was when everybody was ticked off about the price of gas. And he was going to employ emergency fuel recovery, which basically meant if you needed gas and your car was there, he was siphoning it.
Yeah.
Some guy got positively rabid, man.
he was going to siphon people's gas. Exactly, yeah. Emergency fuel recovery.
Yeah, Jay Santos is one of my favorite characters.
He's cool. Thanks. Yeah. Here is Ruben listening on the net. Ruben?
Hey, Phil. The best is when you broke down the hierarchy. And he explained how the Citizens Auxiliary Police works and all that.
Yeah, the Major Elvis Newton, Brigadier General.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And he has all that cop talk and that cop lingo, like, you need to step back and calm down.
Yeah, that's
right.
That
whole thing.
That's right.
How do you come up with all that?
It's just a lot of baloney that I hear cops talk about.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, I'm sure every neighborhood has got a Jay Santos somewhere. Some guy who's sitting in his garage with a ham radio.
Right.
And he's monitoring all the, you know, security channels and... He's got, like, big antennas on his car and some lights that he ripped off of some sawhorse that the Caltrans was using.
Exactly. You have an amazing ear for that. I can't remember exactly how that sounds, and I always want to whenever I'm talking about a cop.
Cops always talk about, like, suspects, individuals, or subjects. They always say person, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And they always say a male or female subject, and then they give the age. Yeah, there was another one.
Use euphemisms for, like, you know, for beating the crap out of you.
We restrained the individual, but then the officer then had to, you know, go to a, you know, step 3, code 4, whatever the hell it is.
I love that.
Yeah, there's security at Little League games. Jay practiced one game where the women were breastfeeding their kids, and he thought that that could possibly look like a woman with a bomb.
Oh, I missed that
So
one.
He would reach down and give the women a little twist to make sure that they were actually lactating. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's a pervert. I think he sounds
he's
the least
pervert.
Like you.
Does
of
he?
All the characters. I swear to God, it just doesn't sound a thing like you.
He's got a Pennsylvania accent, Jim.
Is that what that
yeah,
is?
That's a real sing-songy Western Pennsylvania accent.
Well, you would never know. Some of the characters you can tell if you know the show, but
right.
Jay's one of the ones you got no idea.
Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Thanks, Ruben. On the Internet. A Backstage Pass member. You can get that at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Jay Santos, the president or the brigadier general, I should say, excuse me. He's a second in command of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a repeat character on our program. We're thinking of putting together a CD of his best material, and we're asking you to check in with the better Jay Santos stuff. God, I'd forgotten all about when he was doing security at Little League games. Women breastfeeding could be holding bombs, and so he'd give them a twist. Oh, yeah. The other thing that he was doing, he was checking kids at amusement parks in a screening van with a pen light up their rear ends. But what was that for? Why was he checking kids at the amusement park? I don't remember. But I know he was taking children off of the street, putting them into a private van, and then sticking a pen light up their butt. And it was all some... Oh, kids being used as drug mules, that's it. Yeah, he's a sick and twisted bastard, Jay Santos. That's what we're going to call a Best of CD, by the way. Sick and Twisted Bastard, the Best of Jay Santos. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. From Friday's show, Vernon Dozier was on. He was a special ops guy talking about how George Bush, quote, was too much of a pussy, end quote, to use nuclear weapons against the Arabs. And Vernon is so much a fan of nuclear weapons that he actually has a private stash of nuclear weapon bomb blasts on videotape that he sits and watches and enjoys himself to.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Both of you guys should understand what our country can do. Look at this. Look at this. Right. Yeah.
That's a pussy. That's a pussy right there. It's got to watch that kind of crap on tape.
Why
to get his rocks off.
Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
What? Did you hear what the man said?
I want to ask you, why does that make me a pussy? Because I like watching America's might at work.
Because all you're doing, you're sick in the head. Like you're a pussy for sitting there watching that, and you're too scared to get out and go over there and do anything about it. So you talk like a big man behind closed walls and a closed door when you ain't about shit anyway.
I bet you ought to see this, Lee. Look at this. Look at that, huh?
You know what?
We can't see
I guarantee
it, man.
You, my wife, or ex-wife, at 5 foot, 5 foot, weighs 107 pounds, could break her foot off in your ass with no problem.
You call me a pussy?
Yeah, you're a pussy.
How do you figure that? I was special ops.
What special ops? Were you in the Army?
I was in a private security firm.
He's special ops. The special ops part of him run down. I ain't going to be nasty on the show. I can't handle
that. I understand that. I understand, Lee, and I appreciate your sentiments.
You graduated from Dumbass High.
I graduated from Dumbass High, is it?
Yeah, you're stupid, man.
Now you're calling people names.
Well, you're calling President Bush a pussy.
Because he is a pussy. Look at this.
It takes a pussy to call somebody a name over the rest, yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And set it to their face. I guarantee you, he'll be more than happy to you go to Washington and tell one of them Secret Service agents outside that fence, and he'll drop you like a bag of bricks.
Hey, Lee, here's one I call Senorita. This is a great one.
I'm not going to waste no more of my breath.
He's a
loser.
It's a freaking metal case.
And you keep up the good work. I've been listening for a long time. First time I ever got through. Sorry you got to deal with a dumbass like that.
You're a good man. Thanks for being here. What are you doing, man?
I can't hear you with that guy.
I know. He's watching.
I'm not allowed to look at my own private stash of adult films.
Well, do it when you're not on the phone or on the radio.
I didn't hear you, what?
Phil, I'm on cell phone going down the road. I'll take the late show, buddy.
I'll see you later, brother. What are you doing?
I'm sorry?
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No. You're yelling at me.
I'm yelling at you because I'm trying to have a conversation. I'm listening to you. You're watching your private stash of nuclear blasts.
Can I just look at one more?
What?
Can I look at one more?
Go ahead, you freak.
Here's one I call your mama.
What in the hell? Get this guy out of here.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There you go. Here's Tom on the Phil Hendry Show. Tom?
Oh, hey, how's it going,
Tom? Good, man.
Hey, man, I have to tell you, Jay Santos is definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, man, and I have, do I have to tell you one? I have four.
Go ahead, just give me one, and then if that's cool, then we'll go to number two.
Okay, my favorite one is when there was a mother who was told to, okay, you were saying that Jan Stenner... I'm trying to remember. The soccer kicked the
Jan
baby.
Jan Stenerud?
Yeah.
He soccer kicked the baby?
No, not Jan Stenerud. Well, what happened was a mom was accused of killing her baby.
Right.
In Ireland or something.
That's right.
And you started investigating, you know, how this could possibly happen. And you mentioned how Jan Stenerud could kick the baby out of the window, flying, you know, horizontally. What would that be? And a real police officer called in. It was hilarious. It's on your website.
Really? Show was about soccer kicking a kid. I do remember one bit where, did Jay Santos say that was cool to soccer kick a kid?
Well, no, he said if you see a baby sailing horizontally out of the window, what would you think?
Oh, okay. I think Jay also did the one where a woman dropped her kid off of a bridge and somebody called in to say, or Jay actually called in to say that if you're a new parent, when you hear a baby cry for the first time...
That's the one?
Yeah, your natural instinct is to just toss it.
That's the one.
And that's what happened. The woman just tossed the kid off a 500-foot bridge.
That's the one.
Okay, and then he went on to say that, yeah, Jan Stenerud kicked the kid out of a window.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks, Tom.
Well,
see you later.
Okay.
All right, no, yeah, goodbye. Oh, he was going to do four more. Well, we've got to move on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. We're talking with our listeners about their favorite Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police bit. By the way, go to our website and pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. And I mentioned Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts because soon, very soon hopefully, we'll have some Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police stuff up there. Your very own, I don't know, tin badge, pith helmet, blue armband. There was another instance where Jay was putting burkas on women who were coming out of the vagina monologues, I remember, and then he was testing our security by phoning in bomb threats and putting fake turds in punch bowls. He was testing the security, awareness, and alertness of America by calling in phony baloney bomb threats to kindergartens and putting fake turds in punch bowls to see if anybody noticed. Here is Jeff on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, hey.
Here is Victor on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Phil, how are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Very good. I don't know if this was Jay Santos, but I got hooked on your show down in Miami a whole bunch of years back where he was talking to this old man. He had to send the bowel movements up to New York. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he had to send a bowel movement to New York so they could check it. Yeah, that's right.
Was that Jay Santos?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That was Jay.
Well, love
he was having people mail bowel movements to him, right? Why? No, it wasn't. Jay would never do anything that crazy. It was a good one. Here is Dan on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, Art Bell and Jay Santos are definitely my two favorite characters.
Oh, yeah.
But the funniest Jay Santos I ever heard was when Skylab was falling, and they had that Taco Bell thing. Where
they had
the
a
ocean.
Taco Bell target out in the ocean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he was setting up internment camps in his basement and martial law in case there was going to be runs at the Taco Bell when the Skylab hit the target. The best part was when a guy called up and said he was a manager at Burger King when they gave away free French fries, and he didn't think anything was wrong at all. It was very orderly when they did that.
Yeah, he said he was going to put you in taco jail.
Exactly. They had some kind of restraint. They were going to put people in and put them in the...
Taco cuffs?
Exactly.
So he was afraid that people were going to make a run on Taco Bell to do what?
To collect their free tacos when the Skylab hit the target. Remember that?
Well, you know, Skylab never. What did Taco Bell had a huge.
Yeah, like a
bullseye
big,
out there,
a big
they?
Floating thing out in the ocean.
Yeah.
They said if it hit, everyone in the United States would get a free taco. And yeah, because he was afraid there was going to be a huge run on tacos.
So he had martial law and was putting people in tacos.
Exactly. Here. But that guy that called up from Burger King and said they gave away free French fries and people were very orderly. He fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
I think it was Jay Santos who said that he believed that a good marketing thing for Coca-Cola, because Coca-Cola had a problem with minority hiring. And so Jay's idea was for Coca-Cola to get back in good with the minority neighborhoods was to produce a Coca-Cola called Soul Coke. And this would be targeting strictly African-Americans. And some cat called from Coca-Cola and said, there's no way we would ever countenance such a thing. How dare you? Soul Coke.
There's one born every minute.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for calling.
All right.
One what born every minute? Oh, a sucker? All right. 1-800-449-8686. You can talk about my progeny or something. It's the Phil Henry Show here. We're talking about Jay Santos and putting together a best-of CD for him from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And so far, we got a whole bunch of ideas for bits that we'll never be able to find in any of the logger tapes. God, when was that Skylab thing falling? Man, that was like 2 years ago. However, that turds in the punch bowl thing is a good one. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. One of the things Bush did do today or yesterday, I forget when it actually happened, is he said that his administration has basically said to the United Nations, yes, we got a global warming problem in the United States. And it probably doesn't sound that shocking to you guys because you live in the real world, as do I. But some people are completely tied up in Republican versus Democrat. And they don't really care about truth. You know, there's such a thing as wanting to be right so often that you miss what's true. You know, if I'm right, I'm right, and forget about what's the truth. Well, the truth is, at least is the way the Bush administration sees it, and the way a lot of people see it, is that there is a global warming problem. And that kind of goes against what their official stand was up to this point. So in other words, the guy's changed his mind. But you're not supposed to do that when you're a president. You're supposed to, even if you're dead wrong, you're supposed to just stay the course with your baloney. And what happened today is that the president has taken all kinds of grief from people in the Congress and on the Republican side of the aisle, so to speak, and the conservatives, because he's changed his position on something. I thought it was pretty courageous. Not courageous, I thought it was honest. It was intellectually honest. It was heartfelt. It's what you do when you're a good leader. It's what you do when you're a good leader. You let your people know how you're feeling about something, and you're collating the information, and you are looking at all of the facts, and you are coming to a conclusion based upon the facts, not based upon whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. So the guy says that he now believes there is global warming. And all of these people are calling him Al Gore all of a sudden. They're calling him Al Gore. So in other words, even if it's the truth, you don't want him to say it. Is that it? That's why this old school Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative stuff has gotten so old. Really old. Nobody wants to play that. People just want things to work. They want things to work right. Nobody wants to play your, hey, it's Tom Daschle's fault. No, it isn't. It's the president's fault. It's George Bush's fault. No, it isn't. It's that other Kennedy's fault. And if it isn't Kennedy's fault, it's... You know how tired people are of that? Why don't you guys get off that kick? Get off of that, man. People just want stuff to work. They just want the country to go in the right direction. They want the mail to get delivered on time. They want to make sure that nobody's blowing up another building. They want to make sure that there's enough bread for the army and there's also enough bread for maybe a kid who's starving over here, okay? Yeah, we want to do too much. Maybe we want to do not enough. I don't know. But we're all going to get together and figure it out and make the country work. Meanwhile, you guys who play that, why, if it wasn't for the Democrats, we'd have a, oh, will you stop it? Why, if it wasn't for the Republicans, we'd just, you know how tiring it is to listen to that? Do you know how beside the point that is to listen to that? You know, just yesterday's news, that is. Look, just because Rush Limbaugh's got a radio show where he does pretty good with that stuff doesn't mean that everybody else that gets on the air has got it. And forget about radio now. Let's just talk about anybody that's a public pundit, anyone that is publicly articulating a point of view. It always comes down to that same tired, stale, liberal versus conservative argument. And that's not the way it works. Sometimes the other guy is right. Sometimes the other guy's got a good idea, and sometimes you got to embrace his idea. If the other guy says that there's global warming, and you don't want to believe that there's global warming, because that means that there is a, you know, that there's a, that means that the conservative business base is somehow contributing to something destructive, and because people want to do something about global warming, that means the conservative business base is going to have to be, you know, reined in, and that means they won't be able to make as much money, and that's anti-conservative, so let's just ignore the problem. What good is that doing anybody? Or are you just always absolutely, continuously, 100% right because you're a conservative? Is that it? No matter what, no matter how, no matter who, and no matter when, if you call yourself a conservative, every single solitary issue, you're right. Well, it's impossible, you idiots. And I say that with great love in my heart. Some of my best friends are idiots. I'm an idiot. So, you know, so this is what happens today, and now it's become a big controversy. They're calling the guy Al Gore. Well, what if he's right? What about that? You're still going to call him Al Gore? What if there is global warming? Which, let me, you know, I'm no scientist, but I do know this much. When New York City increasingly down through the years has less and less snowfall on Christmas Day to the point where like the last seven Christmas days they haven't had any snow, something's changing. Something's changing, but that's not for me to say. Hey, no problem. The end of May, I'm sitting out there in the canyon out where I live in Thousand Oaks, and there's an ice-cold wind blowing through the place. Okay, that's fine. You know, it's almost summer, and it's like 50. Yeah, okay. Things ain't changing. Well, maybe they're not. But why get on a guy's case when he decides after looking at all the information he wants to change his mind? Get out of here, all of you. You bug me. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, here's a good one. The Citizens Auxiliary Police Handbook on Lewdness. They were checking employees at Christmas parties to make sure they weren't doing the boogaloo. And then they were forcing women to drive SUVs off the road for off-road testing because there were too many women driving SUVs trying to look like big shots, like they knew how to drive in the dirt. And so they were testing to see if they could, like, jump mud puddles and stuff. Yeah, with all the kids in the car. And if the women refused, then the guy would get into the car and do it himself. All right, here is Gordy on the Phil Henry Show. Gordy?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Hi, fine.
First of all, I hate to sound overly pessimistic about Bush changing his tune. I think it's a great thing. But I'm just suspicious that maybe he isn't trying to win over the rest of the world and maybe moving towards supporting the Kyoto Protocol. What do you think of that?
I don't think that the Kyoto Protocol, by the way, is a treaty that the world signed on global warming. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, he doesn't have to sign the Kyoto Protocol.
Yeah,
saying that there's global warming doesn't necessarily mean he's got to sign that.
Yeah, true. I'm just wondering if it's not a move to sort of appease the rest of the world and get our support in the war against terrorism.
We got plenty of support in the war against terror. How much more do we need?
I don't know. Maybe he wants the French on our side.
The French? The French? Whatever.
All right,
thanks, bye. Get out of here. Yeah, there you go. That's what I get for taking phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, look at that. Jerry Falwell's big kisser is just peering right at me from the television screen. He's on Fox News right now. He looks great. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Here's a cool thing. Removing the TV from a kid's bedroom may cut his obesity risk. How about that? As America's kids continue to pack on the pounds, a team of doctors recommends a simple test or simple step that parents can take to lower their preschoolers' risk of obesity. Oh, now it's preschoolers. Just said here, removing bedroom TV may cut obesity risk in kid. Now it's fat little preschoolers. We're not talking about a kid that's 7 or 8. We're talking about a fat little tub of guts that's 4. How in God's name does a 4-year-old turn into a rolling ball of fat? Get the TV out of the little fat slob's bedroom. There you go. What a genius move that is, huh? I'm going to tell you something. I am going to, in my house, it's coming and it's coming soon. I should tape record it or video it because there's going to be a major, major coup that I am going to put forth. There's going to be a coup d'etat in my house that I will be behind. And that is going to be the television and the video games get turned off during the week. Now, do I sound like a typical jackass parent? Of course. But there's a method to my madness. Sitting on your can morning, noon, and night and playing a video game and watching TV can't be good for you. Why do I say that? Well, I have to investigate my feelings about it. Is it because that I don't get to do it? Am I jealous? Am I jealous that the kids sit there and veg out with video games and TV and I don't get to do it because I have to worry about bills and job and, you know, maintaining a lifestyle? Is that it? Am I worried about that? It could be. Could be that I'm jealous. But I told you the story about when I told the kids the other night, I said, you can't have the TV and you can't have the video. It's one night, you guys. No computer, no video, no TV. Come on. Well, their hearts began to palpitate. They began to sweat. You know, there were dryness in the mouth. They didn't know what to do. And the next thing I know, our oldest son has stuck scissors into a wall socket. So, in other words, without the TV, without the video games, and without the computer, he was reduced to the entertainment level of an infant. That's what infants do. They stick scissors into wall sockets. I told you about that. This past weekend, Maria goes upstairs and says, Saturday night, she says, okay, you guys, get off the games, man. We're taking an hour break. And they wouldn't get off. And so she said, okay, you guys have just killed it for yourselves tomorrow. You're not going to have any video or TV or computer tomorrow, meaning Sunday. Because the Laker game is on, and at 4:30 anyway, we're all getting together as a family going to watch the game. All right. About 3 o'clock or whatever the hell it is, Maria and I are doing bills. We're doing the household bills. In comes the kids.
Can we go see Star Wars at the theater?
And, okay, you know, they made it about 6 hours. They couldn't stand it any longer. They had to sit somewhere on their can and watch the movie, right? So I gave them the go-ahead. I said, yeah, okay, go ahead. I don't know why I said yes, but I guess I wanted to be a good guy. So go ahead. What about the Laker game? I thought you guys are big basketball fans. I mean, what is this with you guys, huh? These guys, they play football, right? But they don't watch any football on TV unless I force them to. They talk, they love it. They'll ask me the score of the Laker game, and then but they won't sit down and watch the game. I go, what is it with you guys?
Well, no, the movie will be over enough time so we can come back and see the second half.
Oh, okay. So off they go. But, and this is probably not apropos of anything, but, you know, of what I'm talking about, but you'll find this interesting. I see them take off, right? And I'm going to go to the store and pick up, you know, a couple of beers, whatever. So I thought I'd goof with them. They take off, so I get in my car, I take off, and I'm going to catch up with them and just kind of go, hey, guess what? The guy is, like, leaving me in his exhaust. He doesn't know I'm behind him, but he is just gone. I finally catch him at one of the main boulevards, and he is smoking. Then I see him blow through a caution light. He's smoking up to the theater. So guess what? I've chased him, and I'm afraid that I'm going to get a ticket while I'm chasing these guys. I chased them all the way up to the movie theater, pull into the lot, roll my window down, and just, you slow that car down! He's like, just freak, there I am. You guys slow that car down, man. I swear to God, I'm going to take those keys away from you. You better. Oh, yeah, man. I went right up in his face. Because we told him about slowing it down, you know, whatever. Hey, you know what? Am I a hard ass? Guess what? They peeled another couple of kids out of their cars up here in Thousand Oaks the last couple of months. Kids are dying, man. You know? Kids, now, this isn't a new thing. I lost 3 of my friends before their 18th birthday. 3 of my friends gone. Why? Car, going fast, into things, smash, goodbye, dead. So I guess they think I'm a real jackass. But, hey, there's got to be some movement here, man, something. Guy's got a car. He ain't washing it. All these guys ever do is sit and watch television, play computer games, or watch video games. I mean, the time they spend reading a book, forget it. Somebody's got to say something. And I don't care if anybody says to me, well, this is the new way of doing things. You know, the kids today, they work really hard. It can't be healthy, man. Just from this standpoint, you're absorbing. You're not creating, right? Am I right or am I wrong? Where are the kids creating? You know, you have to sit down and create something, make something. Even reading a book forces you to use a little bit of your imagination to visualize. But if you're just sitting and it's just completely being fed into your brain, the visual and the audio and the you know, all of the external stimulus, there's nothing being asked of your own creative instinct. How can that be good? But here's Maria's philosophy. They do really well in school, so I cut them a lot of slack. Hey, I'm going to say something now that a lot of people are not going to like, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, education ain't all it's cracked up to be. I got a lot of friends, and I know a lot of people that got their four-year degree, they got their bachelor's, they got their BS, they got their MA, and they're sitting on their ass, and they don't have a job, or they can't get a job, and the job market's closed, or they're making about one quarter of what somebody else who just went out and hit it right after high school or maybe a year or two of college and knew what they wanted to do, knew what kind of career they wanted. They're making 50 times more money than some guy with his MBA. Now, you can go to college, and you can go and get your four-year degree, and you can stand there with your thumb in your ass after 4 years. You got nothing. You got to have the same instinct to get yourself a life after an education or without an education. You still have to have the same drive. You got to have the same determination. You got to know what you want to do with your life. And let me tell you something. College isn't necessarily going to give it to you. Now, I know that that's heresy, and I know that we talk about getting an education. I'll take a guy who dropped out of high school and knew exactly what he wanted to do and build a business or build a career without any formal education over some guy that sat on his can for 4 years, got his Bachelor of Arts degree, and now he's moved back in with his mom and dad. Excuse me for saying that, Craig. Now, anyway, I'm kidding. Craig's not living with his mom and dad because he doesn't have a four-year degree. Anyway, no, yeah, I know you're there with them until Nikki comes back. You know, it's lonesome without her. I get it. I'd move in with my mom and dad if they were still alive. They had any money. Jesus. It's pissing me off. Going out of my mind with this stuff. Whatever happened to manual labor? Whatever happened to, you know, getting calluses on your hand? I mean, I had jobs. I was a cement finisher. I don't have a back today because I was, you know, stealing swimming pools, laying rebar, cutting pipe, digging ditches. These guys, hey, guys, why don't you pick that table up and put it over there? Oh, this is a major production. Oh, it's going to last forever, man. How do we do this? What do we do? How do we, where, when, how, who, what? I'm serious. I'll ask like a simple thing like, wrap that hose up. See that garden hose? Yeah. Wrap that up. What do you mean? What do I mean? Roll it up. What do you mean, what do I mean? Hey, I know what I'm going to have you guys do today. What's that? Drive some fertilizer stakes in those trees that your mom likes. What? You can't make us do that. I can't make you do. And then, of course, somebody who has a lot of education, 4 years, in fact, probably even eight, said to me, well, you know, Phil, don't give them chores as punishment. Give them chores as being part of the family. Okay. How can I not look at it as punishment? It's just, I'm getting my thrills that way. It's just when I, it's just me getting my kicks. I like to watch them work and sweat and, like, get dirty because I'm getting my kicks that way. And I figure it helps them, you know. Craig's living at home. He's 27 years old and he's got chores. He's got to empty the cat box and take the recycling out and all that stuff. Unbelievable. I gave him a big speech about taking initiative. I said, this is the time in your life when you take initiative. Take initiative. That means when the cat box needs to be cleaned out, not only do you put it in a garbage bag, but you don't leave it out by the door. Take it to the garbage can. Well, guess what? I walk out there today, I'll step in a bag of cat crap. Somebody just dropped it right there at the door. Because guess what? Somebody else is going to pick it up and carry it to the freaking garbage can. It's me. And that was the guy who did it, me. This is my life. I'm Phil Hendry. Join us again next time for Tales of Stepfatherhood and How to Torture Kids. That's a really good show. I'm pitching that to NBC. That's idea number 63. How to Torture Kids. Be a sitcom. It's the Phil Hendry Show.